Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, impetuous Peter. Peter's personality stands sharply addressed in Scripture. He just seems to act before he thinks. Remember, he jumps out of the boat to walk on water, realizing that it was his Lord and hearing his command. Peter just got out of the boat in the middle of the sea. And he walks on water until he sees the waves, and he sinks. Impetuous Peter. There was another time, remember? He jumps out of the boat, yes, again. He jumps out of the boat before it gets to shore. Peter jumps out of the boat and splashing and marching through the water. Peter runs to meet the risen Lord on the shore. He doesn't think about getting wet. He doesn't worry what the other disciples thought. Peter just runs. Impetuous Peter. And yet another time, remember? The cock crowed. Oh, impetuous Peter. Here in our gospel reading, he does it again. Impetuous Peter. He is just acting on the spur of the moment, not considering the consequences. Remember? Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, saying, "John the Baptist." Another said, "Elijah." And others more say that you are one of the prophets. But Peter, he just steps forward. He just answers, "You are the Christ." Now that, he gets right. Impetuous Peter. Impetuous people. Oh, impetuous people. It was 587 BC, and the southern kingdom, Judah, is exiled. A decade of battle succumbed to surrender. The hammer of Babylon crushed Judah. It was now reduced to a Babylonian province, and Gedaliah serves as governor, appointed by the Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Left in the land was a remnant. And Governor Gedaliah says, "Live in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall go well with you." And with a little thought, they rose up and struck down Governor Gedaliah. With a lot of thought, they rose up and struck down Governor Gedaliah. With a little thought, they called upon Jeremiah to deliver a message from God. You see, the people wanted to escape the Babylonians and run away to Egypt. And Jeremiah has a message. "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your plea for mercy before him, if you remain in this land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not fear him, declares the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand." Jeremiah 42, verses 9 to 11. But the impetuous people, they cried out, "You are a liar to deliver us into the hands of the Babylonians." And the impetuous people came into the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Those who cried to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," now cry to Pharaoh, "Let my people stay." The Israelites, who were freed from Egypt, found themselves imprisoned there again. And God was coming again, not to free them, but to destroy them. Oh, impetuous people. And we are no different. Many times we're just acting on the spur of the moment. Many times we act without considering the consequences. Well, how many of us decide to stay home or go to church when we wake up in the morning? Oh, impetuous people. How many of us decide to not offend someone by mentioning Jesus? Oh, impetuous people. How many of us decide not to pray in public, embarrassed of our faith? Oh, impetuous people. We walk on water with Jesus, and then we sink. With Jesus, we jump out of the boat, and then we worry that we are wet. With Jesus, the cock crowed, and then we get it wrong. Peter got it right. You are the Christ. But he got it right not for long. Jesus then begins explaining things to them. But just the disciples, Jesus says, it is necessary. It is necessary that the Son of Man suffer a lot, be tried and found guilty by the elders, high priests, and the religious scholars, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise up to live. He said this sharply and simply and boldly so that they would not miss it. Jesus now introduces betrayal, suffering, and death into the picture of his destiny. This is the first time that the disciples have heard it. What Jesus says represents a turn in the storyline, as it were. No doubt the disciples were surprised, but then Peter, oh, impetuous Peter, grabbed him in protest. Now Jesus, turning and seeing his disciples wavering and wondering what to believe, Jesus confronted Peter, and he actually says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you are not thinking of the things of God, but the things of men. Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Come on, really? Jesus, you resort to name-calling here? Peter is impetuous, but it's not Peter whom the Lord is scolding. Jesus sees beyond Peter. He sees beyond the physical to know the spiritual reality. Satan roams like a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That reality Peter knows. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan is at work. He's at work in this pericope, working against the ministry of Jesus through means, as it were. His more obvious means are unclean spirits and demons. His less obvious means are human beings. Now, through Peter, Satan tempts Jesus to think of the things of men. And not only here, but throughout his ministry, throughout the ministry of Jesus. Remember when the scribes accused Jesus of being in league with Satan? Mark chapter 3. How ironic that it was they themselves, the scribes, who were the tool of Satan. Remember when Jesus was being called by his family to go with them and abandon his ministry? Mark chapter 3 again. Here's another temptation of Satan. And remember when the crowds gathered and chanted and cheered, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who is coming. The kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Yes, here is another attempt by Satan to lure Jesus into the things of men, being drawn away from his father's will by the praise of this world, to lure Jesus into liking this world's praise more than following his Father's will. The spiritual realm is an important theme in the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus did not have his mind on the things of men, but on the things of God. So what are the things of God? The necessity of Jesus to fulfill his mission. The necessity of Jesus suffering before triumph. The necessity of Jesus' death for our sins, your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world, and the necessity of Jesus' resurrection for our life. Jesus was focused on our salvation. Oh, impetuous Peter, he gets the right answer, but he still doesn't get it. A friend of mine always says, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. And that is Peter. Now eventually the disciples, including Peter, will understand the mission of Jesus. But here, we get it. We actually see. We certainly gain new insight, and we see much more clearly who Jesus truly is and what his mission is truly about. Here we hear the teaching from his own lips. It is necessary that the Son of Man must suffer, die, and rise. Yeah, that great theologian Johnny Nash had it right. I can see clearly now. And at this part in the Gospel according to St. Mark, we can see clearly who Jesus is and what his mission is. Now we can see everything more clearly, much more clearly than was apparent in the previous 7.5 chapters when we saw a mysterious man of power. And now, as the story continues, the sight of him will become ever clearer. He himself gives us a constant witness. He himself fulfills the meaning of his words. He himself is our Savior. Amen. No matter how impetuous you are the body of Christ. Each one of you, a part of it. Amen.